for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday afternoon, December the 26th, 2001, Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what we came to do, and that's what we will do. And I haven't been doing too much teaching in the camp meetings, but I used to do quite a bit of it, but haven't. But Brother Doc hasn't got here to take my place today, so I've got to take his place or something. So here I be. In the magazine issue back, I put an article in there called Hath God Said? I think that's what I titled it, or What Hath God Said? Something like that. And a little bit of what I'm going to talk about was in that, if you read it. But and I'm going to talk about a subject here this afternoon most of the time that, in my opinion, should have been taught ever since I was able to go to hear in church. And I never did hear it taught in church. Now, I've heard it a little bit, a couple of times. I heard Goffo Dollar, what's his name? Yeah, I've heard him teach on this a little bit here a couple of weeks ago, and it was very good. But we're awful late with teaching it. This should have been taught when I was a kid, and it should have been taught from the pulpit, from the Sunday school class, the youth groups, and at home, especially at home. But because it hasn't been and wasn't taught, we have the problem with our youth today, and we don't have any. We have the Bible taken out of school, we have abortion, we have all the problems with AIDS and sex and everything. All because this was never taught. Okay, all right. Count on about 30 of us. Okay, we'll do that tonight. Well, what she's talking about is tomorrow morning and noon is fast day. Always has been here on campground. And those of you who come here from time to time, you're aware of that. And those that don't, well, you will be it now. So, okay, we'll have dinner tomorrow night. Tomorrow is, and at noon tomorrow, we'll pray over all the prayer requests. If you have some prayer requests to add to them, why, we want you to do that. Anyway, the subject I'm going to talk about is found in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, Leviticus 18, Leviticus chapter 20, and Deuteronomy 27. And the first time that this was ever taught, to those of you who are new, it seems like I repeat myself, but I forget that there's some of you who never heard me talk about this. The first time I ever taught this, and I don't know why I did it, only the Lord knows, I did it for a group of ORU students over in Tulsa. It was, had 33 students and two ORU instructors in the room. And I taught what I'm going to teach in a way similar here this afternoon. And when I started to teach it, Irma thought I was lost my rocker. She said, I couldn't believe you were teaching that to these young people. Well, the young people is who need to hear it. And when I got through teaching it, well, we had a deliverance session. I called out the different spirits, deliverance. And the first person that manifested was one of the teachers. And she had sat just stoic, looking at me just like just stoic all the time. And when I finished and started to have the deliverance session, why, she fell off the floor with a blood-curdling scream off of her chair. and went withering across the floor just like a serpent. And she was one of the instructors. Well, from that time on, we had a zoo. And I don't imagine very many of you have ever been in where that. And those types of things don't happen as much anymore as they used to a few years ago. Manifestations, they're more calm today, it seems like, than they used to be. I don't know why. But anyway, we had for about 3 hours, we had deliverance with not only instructors, but with the young people. And God really delivered and set free. So, let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we will start there and lay a little groundwork here for what we're going to teach. And here in Exodus 20, in verse 1, there are quite a few little things of tradition that when I run across them, I make remarks about them. And this first verse here is a verse that reminds me of traditions in the Baptist and Pentecostal realms, because they have a habit, and it's demonic, of saying Moses said that. Well, Moses really didn't say that. Moses repeated it, you see. And they say that's Moses' law, or Moses said that. So they use that as a guise so that they think that it don't apply to them anymore. But it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Now, Moses repeated this, but God said that he said it, you see. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, that's kind of hard to say here in America. Of course, other places, they've got Mohammed, and they've got Buddhas and Shinto gods and all this. Well, basically, until the heathen started coming to America, we didn't have any mosque and Buddhist temples and all. Now we've got them all over the country. But originally, why we didn't have. But America had other gods that's just as bad, or might even be worse because they knew better. They've got the gods of pleasure. And when it comes time for the World Series and falls on Sunday, I wonder how many Christians stay home instead of coming to church. So who's God? What's their God? See? I know some people who had to polish their car every day. That's their God. There's other people, women, who have to mop the house or dust every day. Every day. They can't stand to see a speck. That's become their God. The kids can become the grandparents' God. There's all kinds of things that we can have that are gods. And it's just as bad as any god that you can say that's a heathen god. It's a god too. So you have to consider what is a god or could be a god in your life. Because it can be anything that's more important to you than serving the Lord. Or you call yourself a Christian and you go through, but really you've got another god somewhere. Maybe it's duck hunting, fishing, you know. Deer hunting. Oh, nothing wrong with any of these things. If taken in the right place, it's okay. But when it takes the place of serving the Lord on the Lord's day or whatever day you serve the Lord, well, then it's become your God. So it says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's in the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those, King James says, hate, but that is not a correct translation, of those that do not obey my word, do not honor, reverence God, do not obey his word. And verse 6 says, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? What does it say? Oh, I thought that was was Moses' laws. We didn't have to pay attention to that. It says very plain there that the mercy to the thousand, unto thousands are them that keep my commandments. Okay? But visiting the iniquities to the third and the fourth generation, you'd say, oh, God's a loving God. He wouldn't do that. Well, he really doesn't do it. We do it to ourselves. Because we do not obey the word of the Lord and obey his word. Therefore, when we don't obey his word, we automatically come under the curse that we have disobeyed God in. We fall under that curse. God says the curse is there. And if you serve me in righteousness, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you get the curse. Okay? So, let's look on here and see. Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and read here in Deuteronomy 23. Now, there are several places that we could read where it says that we're cursed to the third and the fourth generation. But today we're just going to look at one. If you want to find the others, you can look them up. Get your concordance and look them up. If you aren't agreeable with just one usage of it. I know the scripture says where two or three will join are where there we'll we're in two or three witnesses where there we can justify it. But they're there. Two or three witnesses are there. Okay, chapter 23, verse 2 says, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Or illegitimate child. Shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord? And it says, an Ammonite and a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Or for 10 generations. Now I assume that you know who the Ammonites and the Moabites are. You don't? Well, they're Lot's children. There are Lot's children by incest, by his two daughters. Well, just for reference, if you want to, Genesis 19, chapter verses 36 and through 38, tells you who they are. Well, let's just read it. So, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 36, it says, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites, unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son, and called his name Ammoni, the same as the father of the children of Ammon, unto this day. So, the Ammonites and the Moabites are Lot's descendants by incest. By incest. Dear Abby, in her column one time here a few years back, somebody asked her about incest, and she answered it and said that incest is the closet demon in everybody's household. That's what she called it and said it was. Incest is a big problem in that we have had prayed with many, many people because of incest. We had a very unusual situation here. A few years ago, a lady in her late 60s or early 70s, somewhere in that area, from Illinois, had come here two or three times to camp meeting. And this time she came and she told Irma, she said, I want you to pray for me. And I want you to pray for me private. So Irma got a couple of girls. I think Patty was one of them. And took her in the nursery and asked her what the problem was. And she had been molested when she was a little girl. And she had never wanted anything to do with men. And she had never gotten married and because of this, of incest. And they prayed with her and delivered her. The Lord marvelously delivered her and set her free. And she's now in her late 60s or around 70, somewhere there. And she was a different person, absolutely different person. And that winter, she went to Phoenix for the winter for some reason. And she met a man out there whose wife had died a few years earlier with cancer, and they ended up getting married, and she called us up and wrote us. We had had correspondence with her for quite a while, and when we were out there, they came to see us, and she said, "I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life." But incest had bound that woman for all those many years, just as that spirit had bound the woman that Jesus set free, who'd been bound for, 17 years or something like that? Anyway, these demonic powers can bind our lives. Okay, so the Lord says that sexual sins carry a 10-generation curse. He says that worshiping other, having other gods and the cult and these things, other areas, carry a 4-generation curse. So now let's go back and look at Leviticus chapter 18. And we're going to see that the progression here of this. Now, I'm not going to read all of these verses in all three of these chapters, but I'm going to do quite a bit here in chapter 18. I'll read. And it says, and here again it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, You, Moses, you speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. And after the doings of the land of Egypt, or sin, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances or their laws. You shall do my judgments, and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord." So by keeping the ordinances and the statutes and the commandments of the Lord, there is life. He says that if we keep them, he says, you shall live in them. You shall have life if you obey them. And then he says, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." Now, the King James translates this, the word nakedness, because they thought it was too lewd to say sexual relations. But that word nakedness literally means have sexual relations. And so it's not just uncovering somebody and seeing them naked. What it means is have sexual relations. So it says here that you're near of kin, you're not to have sexual relations with them. Incest. That's what it is, incest. And some states have laws that you can't marry to the second or third cousin somewhere like that. In cases where they do marry to the first and second cousins, sometimes there is physical problems with the child, and in a lot of cases where there are children that are today that are born with different problems, you can go back through the family line and find a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times that there's incest in that family line, illegitimate children born. So it says, the nakedness of thy father or nakedness of thy mother thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness or have sexual relations with your mother or the father and the daughter. It says, the nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Now this could refer to your mother's died and your father's remarried. Or it could be your actual mother. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Now this little verse appears three times. It appears in 18, it appears in chapter 20, and Deuteronomy 27. And this little verse is very, very important. And it's put together in a very unique way here, because it covers every aspect of a family. You notice it says, you shall not have sexual relations with your sister, for she is the daughter of your father. Or is, the daughter of your mother, whether she is born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness you shall not uncover or have sexual relations. Okay. Your mother died, and your dad's left with a couple of children, whatever. Another family, the father died, and the mother's left with a couple of children. Now this mother and father marry, and they bring stepchildren together on both sides of the family here. And now then they have more children. And now we've got three groups of children, and only one group is related. The others are all stepchildren. But this takes in that verse. It says, the daughter of thy father or the daughter of thy mother. In other words, it's saying that they couldn't actually be your mother or whatever. They could be the stepbrothers and stepsisters. So God's put this little verse together so that it takes in every aspect of a family, no matter in what relationship you put that family together. It's covered in that little verse. And God, in God's wisdom, he did that so that there wouldn't be incest in families, which is an abomination to God. Now it says, the nakedness of thy son's daughter, or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Your children's children. Your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter or whatever. You shall not have intercourse or sex with them. So the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter. Now here we've got a wife that brings a daughter to a man that isn't his daughter, but it's her daughter. Begotten, this one says it's begotten of thy father, she is your sister. Now this is in the family, this one. Thou shalt not have sex with her. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister, your aunt. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, that's also your aunt, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother, for thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. When we get through with this, is every aspect of family relations and on non-family relations that God covers in these few verses in this chapter. But I want you to know that he says, you shall not do these things. See, this chapter says, you shall not do these things. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Now, what does that mean? That means the woman's a monthly period. It says you shall not have sex during that time. And we have found, nobody ever taught us any of this until we taught ourselves. No, nobody ever stood in the pulpit. Nobody ever stood in the Sunday school class or the youth group and taught us that when you're married, when you young people get married, or you that are married, don't have sex during the time of your wife's menstrual period. Now, we have found over the years in praying with people who, and I'll tell you, unless you've been taught this or read it, most everybody is guilty. Most everybody is guilty. And I'll tell you what we have found. We have found that a lot of prostate problems is caused from disobeying this law. We have found that a lot of women's female problems are caused by disobeying this law. This is a law. And we have found that if you have those problems and you have disobeyed this law of God, that if you repent and ask the Lord to forgive you of it and then be prayed for healing, we have found many, many times that the Lord has healed people of prostate trouble and female problems. When they have repented of disobeying the word of the Lord, they've repented of it, and then been prayed for healing, God has restored him. Okay. It says, moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife. Now, this is fornication. The other is adultery. This is adultery. Fornication is in your own household or out of marriage. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Now, that's abortion. And this nation is guilty of abortion, from the top echelons to the bottom, from the pulpit down through the pews. This nation is guilty of sacrifice to Baal. Sacrifice to Baal was the giving to the God by burning it in fire of the firstborn of the family. Sacrificing it. What is abortion? They burn the children with salt solution, kill them, and sacrifice them. It's a sacrifice to sex and to the devil, and is what it is. And the Lord says that guiltless blood has to be accounted for. And America has a lot of accounting to do. A lot of judgment must come on America for no other reason than just abortion. Because now we stand at over 40 million children that have been sacrificed to the God of sex. And not only the 40 million there, but then all of the posterity of those that would be if that hadn't have happened. So America, the judgment of God cannot be withheld. God's own word says that judgment has to be just for no other reason than that. But then we've got the rebellion against God in the occult, and witchcraft, and Satan worship. And so the judgment of God hanging over America, it will be released. And there's only one way that could be stopped, if America truly repented. But there's very little repentance. Now we pray for America, and you do, and we pray for America, but the basic part of America is not in repenting. But we stand in the gap for America. We stand in the gap for those that aren't repenting, but God says that his judgment must come because of it. So, when it comes, it's just, somebody may say I'm foolish, but when it comes, we need to thank God, because God is bringing the time of his return closer and closer, for his judgment when it comes in the earth is also bringing the Lord closer to his return. And the earth has to be cleansed for the kingdom age. Now, I don't think that the earth's going to be cleansed overnight, as some people imply. I think it's going to take a few, maybe a couple of hundred years or more to cleanse the earth, because we've got to get all the pornography all over the world has to be collected up and destroyed. It's just because Jesus comes back is not going to do away with all the pornography that's everywhere in the world. The kingdom of God and the rule of God that comes in the land has to be administrated by the people of God. And it's going to be our responsibility to rule with a rod of iron and to find all the pornography and all of the masters for it and all of the stuff on the computers. It's all got to be cleansed. All the liquor has to be destroyed. All the billboards have to be changed. Not all over the world. Did you ever realize to think about that? That's going to be an awesome job for the people of the Lord to do, to administrate. It has to be administrated. People's got the idea that when Jesus comes back, wham, it's all going to be. No, that's not so. When Jesus comes back, you and me has got a lot of work to do. But we'll have the authority to do it. We'll have the dominion to do it. Under the authority of Jesus. Anyway, how do I get out on that? But anyway, we need to think about those things. It's not just something that's going to happen overnight when Jesus comes back. But we've been taught that. I've been taught that all my life. You know, when Jesus comes back, everything's going to be perfect. Well, be wonderful it was, but I can't see it that way. I see that you and me are going to be the ones with his authority that's going to cleanse the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, study to see if these things be so. That's my opinion. Okay. So the next verse says, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now you notice all these, it say you shall not. And this is homosexuality and lesbianism. God says it's an abomination. You shall not do it. And there's nobody that's born a homosexual. That's demonic. Neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie therewith. It is confusion. Bestiality. Bestiality is rampant. Yeah, on the internet and on the pornography stands. They've got there's all kinds of literature about bestiality. And of course, the homosexual and the lesbian, too. God says it's an abomination. He says, you shall not do it. And he says, defile not yourself in any of these things. For in all these, the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now, that word nations there, if you look in the original, back through the concordances, you'll find that that word nations is the very same word that's used in other places in the Bible where it says Gentile. That word is the same word throughout the whole scriptures. Where it says Gentile, it's exactly the same original word that word nations is. The word Gentile is either nation, singular or plural, heathen or heathens, singular or plural, whichever it applies. It's the same word throughout the whole scripture. And the Lord says, if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely... Well, wait a minute. I'm crossed over too far here. I'm reading in my next verse, chapter. Verse 25 says, and the land is defiled thereof. I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations had the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it. And I'll tell you, this land is defiled, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the soul that committeth them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall you keep mine ordinances, that you commit out any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, that you defile not yourself therein. I am the Lord your God. Now, over in chapter 20, we find almost exactly the same thing repeated, except for one change, which is very prominent. And it says here in chapter 20, let's see up here. In verse 3, they're offering their children to Moloch. And the Lord says in verse 3, he says, I'll set my face against that man, will cut him off from among his people. Cutting off means that you're going to die. It doesn't say when or how, but you're going to die. And verse 4 says, the people of the land do in any way hide their eyes from the man that does this, and giveth his seed to Moloch, and kill him not. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut off the whole family that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch and from among their people. Now, did you ever happen to consider about abortion? Do you know that every nurse who works in there is just as guilty as the doctor who does it? Do you know that the man who rents the property to the abortion people, that he's just as guilty as the doctor who's doing it, because he rented the land, the building or the property to him? Do you know that the man who walks in there from the pharmaceutical place and sell some gauze and supplies, do you know that that man is just as guilty as the doctor who does it? Do you know that the pharmaceutical company who supplies the equipment and the supplies is just as guilty as the doctor? So when we look at it, it goes much farther than just the abortion place. It spreads back like an octopus back across the nation to many, many other places besides just the abortion center. And God says that he'll spew them out and cut them off. That those who see it going on and participate in it or don't say something against it, he says, you're guilty. You're guilty. Now, verse 6 says, he's got here, that wasn't in verse 8 to chapter 18. He says, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Says, sanctify yourself therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord that sanctifieth you. Now, as we go on now, we're going to find that the Lord says that he said you shall not do these things. Now, in this chapter, he says you're to be put to death. He says when you do these things, you're to be put to death. Verse 10 says, the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And verse 11 says, he that lies with his father's wife and covers his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Now, God told us at the beginning not to do it. Now he says, you knew not to do it. Now then, if you do it, you're to be put to death. You're to be stoned. And that's what they brought the woman to Jesus who was taken in adultery. And they brought her to Jesus. But the problem was they didn't bring the man. See here, it said that both the man and the woman are to be put to death. But they didn't bring the man because they were all guilty. Not just the woman, but because the Lord says, who's without guilt, let him cast the first stone. And they all turned tail and ran because they were all just as guilty as the woman. But the woman, the Lord says, your sins be forgiven you. Go and sin no more. And that's what he says to us today. We have the privilege of having our sins forgiven because Jesus carried it to Calvary for you and me, that we can apply and appropriate the blood of the Lord Jesus. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us as though we had never been guilty. Removed as far as the east from the west. That is beyond your ability or mine to explain in any way. That is more than I can fathom and explain. But I know it's true because my sins have been forgiven. And I know that they have because I know it. I just know. And you the same way. So the Lord says if we commit these things, that we're to be put to death. Let me see. Now, verse 13 says, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. But the homosexuals say, and the lesbians say, oh, God is love. God wouldn't do that. God is love, and he loves the homosexuals and the lesbians, and we can go to church, and we need to be accepted because God's a God of love. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. But when you try to say this to them, or show them these scriptures, they say you're prejudiced. You're just prejudiced. You're a religious fanatic. No, we're not a religious fanatic. It is written. God said, and that's what it is. Verse 15 says, if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely put to death, and you shall kill the beast. If a woman puts unto a beast to lie therein, you shall kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. And it goes on, just as we read before, but verse 22 says, you shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments, and do them, that the land wherein I bring you to dwell therein shall not spew you out. So, and then verse 26 says, and you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people that you should be mine. And then it says, a man or woman that hath a familiar spirit, that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. But the Lord says we're to be a holy people. He's desirous for a people of righteousness and holiness. And there is three places in the Bible where it says, you shall be holy because I am holy. And as I used to read that, I used to think, well, that's nice, Lord, but you know nobody can be holy. Well, you know, I realize now that that's not what the Lord is saying. He said that he desires that you and I desire to be holy before him. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. Now, the only way we can do that is to come and repent and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins, and then to be quick repenters when we do things that are not righteous and holy before the Lord. He wants us that my desire is to be holy. And then if my desire is to be holy, I will be holy. Now, I may do things, but then I need to be a quick repenter so that I can be a righteous and holy person before the Lord for his name's sake. Well, chapter 18 said you shall not. Chapter 20 said you're to be killed. Chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. Let's take a look and see what that says. Verse 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. And today we are the people of the Lord. So we need to hearken. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord thy God of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, amen. Now after Joshua and the children of Israel went across the Jordan, after they were over there, then Joshua separated them out, and they did just what Moses had commanded them to do here. The six tribes went one side, and the six tribes went the other, and the Levites stood in the middle and commanded the word of the Lord, the blessing and the curse. And then they answered, whatever you say, Lord, amen to it. So they knew what the blessings and the curses were, because they partook of them. And they're recorded for us today. And when we disobey the word of the Lord, we come under the curses that are spoken here when we disobey God's word. Now, I didn't used to believe this, because I was taught that no Christian could have a curse. I was taught that no Christian could have a demon. I was taught that no demon can cross the bloodline. But the bloodline does not exist where there is confessed sin in different areas, or where there's a curse that's come down through the family line, or the curse that you've come under because of yourself that has not been broken. And I was taught that Galatians 3:13 did away with any curse that I could have on my life, because there it says that Jesus became a curse for us. And I believed that. And until one time, we used to have Bible study here on Thursday night, and Fern was here that night. She's sitting right back there. And she was here the night we were studying this. And at that time, what we were studying was nothing related to this. We were studying about the blood of Jesus. And there are five aspects of the blood of Jesus, and that's what we were studying. Because another tradition that I was raised under was, I plead the blood, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. Well, there is absolutely no scripture for that statement. That is an erroneous statement. There's no scripture for it. But the Lord in His mercy has honored that because of ignorance. My mother used to say that all the time. I plead the blood. And she did up until she died when she was 96 years old. But there's no scripture for it. And when you're dealing with demonic powers and demons, and you misquote a scripture, they will tell you about it quick, because they don't have to obey. All they have to obey is, it is written. And it has to be correct. Because you see, Satan turned around and misquoted to Jesus when he was in the wilderness and tempted him. Satan misquoted and Jesus corrected him. And today, if you use the scripture out of context or misquote it, and sometimes, not always, I haven't always, but I have been called on it by demons. Especially plead the blood, because that is not scripture. So we were studying that. And there are five scriptural bases for the blood of the Lord Jesus. We are covered. There are scriptures for being covered with the blood. There are scriptures to appropriate the blood. There are scriptures appropriate and to cover with the blood, to sprinkle with the blood, to apply the blood. And there's one more, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we were studying those one Thursday night here, all the different, but we looked up all the scriptures that went with it, see. And, since I've gone that far, that wasn't anything I intend to talk about here. But since we've gone that far, I've got to go back here to Leviticus chapter 3 and bring us up to date here in chapter 3. You see, here in Leviticus chapter 3, there was a scripture I used that night, and across the verse 13, and in chapter 4, also verse 6, says that the priest shall take the blood and sprinkle the blood. So here's two scriptures right here on these pages for sprinkling the blood. But I finished reading that little chapter, verse through verse 17. But I don't know why I read it, had no reason to read it, but I did. And it didn't mean anything to me. And it's in verse 17 says, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. I never thought anything about it, just went on to my next scripture. But there was one of the ladies here that night that had been to the doctor and had got a doctor's report that day from her doctor that said that she was on the verge of sugar diabetes. She was a borderline sugar diabetic. And she had I found this later. Her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. Her mother had died with sugar diabetes. She had two sisters who, one of them had lost a foot already, and another one who was very serious sugar diabetic. And the Lord spoke to her in the night and told her to get up and find all the scriptures she could find on eating blood. She thought, what's that got to do with anything? But she was so impressed that she got up in the night and hunted up all the scriptures she could find about eating blood there. And now, I have found 26 since that time, but at this time it didn't mean anything to me. It happened right here in this building. So Saturday night we had prayer meeting and she didn't sing about it. Sunday morning at church, there was about as many here as are here right now, Sunday morning at church, and we had praise and worship and singing. And when I got up to talk, I said, anybody have a prayer request? And she put up her hand and said, I'd like to say something. And I said to her, well, say on. And so she related to me, to all of us, about the Lord impressing her to get up and find and look up all the scriptures on eating of blood. And then she was wondering, why am I doing this? And then the Lord reminded her that her grandmother used to make blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. Her mother did the same, and she had eaten it but she had never made it herself. But she was, and the Lord said, "You're cursed with an ancestral curse, and sugar diabetes is the cause from eating of blood." And she, and the Lord impressed on her to have said, "If you have Glenn pray for you Sunday morning, I'll heal you." Well, that's what she said. I said, "Well, this is new, something new to me. I'll have to study this out. But if the Lord said that I should pray for you," I said, I'll pray for you." I said, "Anybody else?" There were 9 people that come up and stood up here for me to pray for that knew that in their family line they had eaten blood sausage and blood pudding, or somebody in, they knew it was in, and I prayed for them. And the Lord healed her of sugar diabetes. She had other problems, but she never had the sugar diabetes that the doctor said she was in the verge of. Anyway, so now I got a problem, see. I prayed for these people for something that really I almost didn't believe, because I was taught that nobody could have a curse. I still believe that here at that time. And so I've got a problem. I just prayed for these people for something that I really don't know what I'm doing. So now I've got to study. So I began to study. And of course, first I went to Galatians 3:13, where it says, "Jesus became our curse, that whosoever hangs on a tree is accursed, and Jesus hung on the tree and become my curse." Okay, so that, but my tradition has taught me that I automatically have relieved other curses because of that. But then the Lord impressed me with John 3:16. And John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it says that whosoever, we got to read to have the rest of the verse, that whosoever calls on him. So right away, a light went on. Uh-oh. Galatians 3:13, we have to call on the Lord for salvation and repentance, and we have to apply the blood of Jesus, we also have to apply the fact that Jesus became my curse. It is not something that's automatic. We have to apply it to our situation. And so I understood it. And then from that day on, I began to study the curses and find out. And the blessing. The blessings are what we want. But if we're under the curse, we've got to get that broken before we can have the blessing. So here in all of this chapter here, God told them that they were the Levites were to call out, "Cursed be the man that maketh a graven or molten image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman that putteth a secret in a secret place." And then all the people on each hill, each side, said amen. This side the curses and this side the blessings. And you know, I bet they could hear that for 50 miles. That come down through that valley. The voice of the children of Israel. But it wasn't long until it didn't mean anything to them, was it? It wasn't long until they were disobeying God's word. They weren't applying it to their lives, and they came under the curses. They came under the curses so bad that they were eventually evicted from the land and carried away captive. And God told them that was going to happen to them if they didn't obey his word. And they didn't do it, and they got the consequences. Today, we have the opportunity to study the word of the Lord. We have the opportunity to apply it to our lives and to obey God's word, that we can live under the blessing and come out from underneath the curses. But we have to study and ask the Lord to show us and reveal the areas of our lives that we are living under the curses that we've come under. And most of us have come under curses because of our own rebellion and ignorance. Now, if these scriptures that we've been reading here today had been taught from the pulpit when I was a kid, and up through the generation of the young people in the 50s and the 60s and up, we wouldn't have what we've got in the land today, because there would have been a reverence and an honor and a fear of God that would have come from the pulpit, that these things are an abomination to God, and if you partake of them, you're going to be cursed. But that's never been taught. And so what have we got? We've got rebellious children. We've got free sex and love, and we've got abortion. We've got witchcraft and sorcery, and we've got a Harry Potter. And we're raising a generation now that will see the Christians as the bad people. The Christian will be the bad people because we're against what the witchcraft and the sorcery, which they've been taught is the good thing. They've been taught it's good, and because the Christian is against it, then we're the bad people. And that's the generation that's coming up today because of the word of the Lord that has not been taught from the pulpit in the last 75 and 80 years or 100 years. It's been a watered down gospel. Now God has been gracious and merciful. We've had little spurts of here and there, and we've had healings and the tent ministries and all that ministry, and God has blessed, but it's only been a drop in the bucket of what it could have been if the ministers had stood in the pulpits and declared, "Thus saith the word of the Lord." And it's going to take the judgments of God to bring once again a true repentance in the nations of the earth. It's going to take the judgments of God. And we don't like to think about that, and we don't like to consider it, but the scripture says it's going to happen. And it's going to happen because we have not obeyed God's word. And God's word says that if you don't do that, these things are going to happen. So we can expect them to happen. But God says that those that call on His name, He will watch over and take care of and protect. Now, protecting you may not mean that you won't get your head cut off or stoned or killed or whatever. But He'll protect us and we will have life eternal. But we are called to be a testimony and a witness to those about us, regardless of the circumstance. And you don't have to be a loudmouth to be a witness and a testimony. I'll give you a personal example. When I was in the Army Engineers in Panama, I used to read my Bible every day and pray. I was in a barracks with, I think there was 28 of us in the barracks. And I sat down every night and read my Bible. And I never asked anybody to read with me. None. I just sat down, opened my Bible, and read it. And I, when we get ready to turn the lights out, I'd get down on my knees and pray. I never said a word. That was all I did. They all played cards and drank. Of course, I didn't do that. But sometimes when I would be in the PX or around, and they'd be playing cards, and I'd walk in, and somebody sitting there playing blackjack or something, somebody'd want to go to the bathroom, and they'd say, "Glenn, come over here." I'd go, and they'd say, "Here, hold my cards till I come back." And so I'd just take them and hold them. And then they got, I never said anything, did anything, you know, other than what I just told you. And so I got the name of Little Preacher. I got called Little Preacher. I didn't preach to nobody. I didn't. But when things happened, I knew who they looked for. One night about 2 o'clock in the morning, big Louisiana guy named Jack got a letter. His wife was divorcing him. And he was a carouser and drinker. And he come in about 2 o'clock in the morning and woke me up. I said, "Little Preacher, you got to pray for me." Now, we're in the bunk. Of course, when he wakes me up, you know, he wakes everybody up. And he said, "You got to pray for me. I got to have help. You got to pray for me." So he told me his wife was filing for divorce. So I said, "Okay." So I prayed for him. And he repented right there before all the rest of them. He repented. I trust that the Lord dealt with him. I don't know what happened because it wasn't long after that. I wasn't there anymore. But I found out that I had about a half a dozen guys who were my protector. And I didn't even know it. Because just before I was going to leave there and go on to another place, why One Saturday night, we were going down to Panama, into Panama City, and some of the guys had made up their mind that for a going away party, they was going to take me down to the red light district. And they wasn't going to let me get off the bus downtown Panama. They were going to take me on down to the end of the line. And some of the other fellas found out about it. They didn't tell me, but they got on the bus with me, see, all of them. And when it come time for me to get off, these other guys, you know, were going to keep me on. When it come time for me to get off, they got up and said, "You're not going to bother little preacher. He don't want to go where you want to take him, and you're not going to take him. Now, he's going to get off here, and if you try to do anything, you're going to have to contend with all of us." And there was about half a dozen of them that were on there just for me. So you see, the Lord looks after us, takes care of us. Amen, amen. Well, how do we get into all of that? Anyway, that's how I learned about curses, from what happened here. And from then on now, we have understood and come to realize that we almost all have come under curses in one way or another. And the curses from our ancestors are very real, curses of sexual the sins and incest and the occult and different areas of alcohol and rage and anger. You know, you've heard the saying, like a chip off the old block. Well, what is that? That's come down the family line. That's the curse of the family line. The doctor, when you go to the doctor, what do? They give you a sheet to fill out, wondering what your mother and father died with. What are they doing that for? That's checking the curse of the family line out. That's what they're doing. So the Lord's give us authority in His name to break these powers and set the captives free and release us from the curses that we've come under. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And we're going to bring this to a conclusion here in a few minutes with prayer over these areas, or some of these areas. We can't cover them all because there are multitudes of them in different areas of our lives and different situations. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." And in chapter 5, verse 32, it says, "You shall observe to do therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that you may be well, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." So, long life is bound up in obeying the word of the Lord. Long life is bound up in keeping His commandments. Now, people say, well, lots of people find scriptures where they try to get out of keeping the commandments of the Lord. I would rather, even though there may be some things maybe I don't have to keep, but I don't know what they are, but if there are, I'd rather keep them and please the Lord than not keep them and run the chance of displeasing the Lord. Now, there are some areas that I could talk about here that some of you might get upset at me about the commandments of the Lord, but I'll let you work on that and search out for yourself what God says that we should and should not do in serious. But I want to conclude our scriptures today with Revelation chapter 22. And it feels crazy at all. These girls were laughing at me because they thought I'd go there. Well, I am. I'm here. Verse 13. Well, let's read verse 11. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy,
let him be wholly still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now I know we're saved by grace, not by works. But if you want a reward, you're going to have to do some working. You're going to have to do some laboring. Because to those who receive the reward, what did Jesus say? He gave some 5 talents, and some 3, and some 1. And those who took the talents and put them to work, he said, well done. And he who didn't put the talent to work, he said, well, are you miserable, unselfish, or whatever. So he said, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then he said, I am Jehovah, Yahweh, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And what did he say? He said, blessed are they that do my commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What is the tree of life? That's what Adam had a right to, and he didn't. He did what he was told not to. Well, say he didn't do it. Yeah, but he was responsible. He was right there. He wasn't away somewhere when it happened. And he could have objected, but he didn't. So you and I have the consequences. But now we have the opportunity to obey the word of the Lord and have a right to the tree of life, which Adam refused. And how? It said, to those that keep my commandments. And this is Jesus talking here. But he says, then if you don't, he said, outside in the outer, there's the dogs and the whoremongers and all those that love to make a lie or love to disobey Jesus. But he says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things to the churches. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, whosoever, let him come and take the water of life freely. And then he goes on to say that if you take one dot or one tittle out of the book, your name will be removed from the book of life. So that means that this is the book from kiver to kiver, and you don't take nothing out of it, you don't add to it, and you don't take away. And I trust that you will study to show yourself approved unto the Lord, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but learning to rightly divide the word. And not taking up somebody's argument that you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that, and something else applies, because God says that you don't take out one dot or one cross one T or take the dot off of one I. If you do, your name's taken out of the book of life. And there's too many people today who say, well, I don't have to do that. That's done away with. And Jesus took care of that. No, it's still there. It is written. It is written. Well, let's work on a little bit here for a few minutes before supper time. We'll work on fornication and adultery and incest, bestiality, homosexuality and lesbianism, and abortion and shedding of innocent blood. And to that, just a minute. Praise you, Jesus. Well, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the authority of your word. For it is written that Jesus said, in my name I give you authority to set the captives free. So, Father, this afternoon we come and bring ourselves in remembrance before you. And in these areas, Father, of our life, or our ancestors that have committed these sins and abominations against you, we come, Father, this afternoon to set ourselves free. And I thank you for the privilege that we have to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that through and by his shed blood we have remission of sins, and by his hanging on the tree we have relief from the curses of our own and our ancestors. And I thank you for that privilege today, Father. And I come in now in the name of Jesus, and I take authority over the curses of our ancestors, and I bind and break their assignment back for 10 and 20 generations, Father. And I take authority over them, and I put the blood of the Lord Jesus to separate and cleanse between us and those ancestral curses. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse between our own selves and the curses that we've come under because of the things that we've done and disobeyed your word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I come against the curse of fornication. Father, I break the curse of fornication from off of us. And I bind that spirit of fornication. And I command it to come out of those here that have participated and been guilty of fornication. I break that curse from off of them. Put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash them and to set them free from it. Devil, I bind your power. Break your assignment of harassing and tormenting God's people and reminding them of things that the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes. And this afternoon, we break that power from over these people and set them free from it in Jesus' name. And Father, I appropriate this same authority to those who may listen to this tape in days to come. And in Jesus' name, I break those curses from over them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I come against the curse of adultery. I bind and break that curse of adultery, Father, over those under the sound of my voice. I command the spirit of adultery to come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of adultery, I bind you and I break your assignment over these people. I release them from your dominion in Jesus' name. Spirit of adultery, I bind you dead judgment. I break your assignment. Father, I thank you for the angels of the Lord here to bind up these spirits and to keep them till Jesus judges them at the day of judgment. Adultery, I bind you. I break your dominion over these people. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Incest, you spirit of incest in the family lines, I bind your power. Break your assignment back 10, 15, 20 generations. You spirits of incest in the family line, I bind your power and break your assignment. You spirit that has caused heartache and sorrow, incest, I bind you. I cause you to desist. I break your dominion. Come out of these people. You spirits of incest, I release them from your dominion. I break the power of it over them. Guilt, spirit of guilt, I bind you and break your dominion in Jesus' name. Spirit of feeling unclean, I bind you and break your assignment over these people in Jesus' name. Come out of them, incest. I release them and set them free through the authority of the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Bestiality. I bind you, spirit of bestiality. I break your dominion over these people. Bestiality, you foul, unclean spirit. I bind you. I break your dominion in Jesus' name. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and wash that spirit of bestiality. I bind your power back and release you back 10, 15, 20 generations. I put the blood of Jesus between the ancestral curses of those present. And I break the power of it. And I release them from it in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. Bestiality, I bind your power. Come out of them in Jesus' name. Spirit of homosexuality, I bind you. You foul, unclean, filthy spirit. I bind you, spirit of bestiality. I break your assignment over these people, over their lineage. I go back in the ancestral heritage and I break the sin of it that's come down the family line. And I bind your power so you can't reproduce yourself. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash in Jesus' name. A lesbian, you spirit of lesbianism, I bind you. I bind your power. I break your assignment. I cut you off. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash. And I go back in the ancestral heritage and I break that power and put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash that ancestral curse. And I break it over these people in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the authority to set the captives free in Jesus' name. Abortion. I bind you, spirit of abortion. I break your assignment. You spirit of guilt. I break your assignment. And I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse. Father, and I thank you for forgiving anyone who's been associated with abortion. I bind and break the power of it. I release it from the family line. I break it from the ancestral heritage. The spirit of abortion, I break your power in Jesus' name. Spirit of illegitimacy, I bind you. I break your assignment. I break the curse off of anyone here that is illegitimate or is the son or daughter of an illegitimate child, or grandpa, a mother, or father. I break that curse back 10 generations. You spirit of foul devil, I bind you and I break your dominion over these people in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I praise you for it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I thank you. Is there anything else in this line that I need to pray about? Mildred, do you think of anything? Well, that's not what we're praying for, but so, yeah, I was talking about that. Yeah. Yeah, eating of blood. Father, I lift up the sin of eating of blood. Blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup, human blood. I lift up that sin before you, Father. And I break the curse of it back for 4, 5, 10 generations in the families, Father, that have practiced eating blood sausage and blood pudding and blood soup. Father, and those that say it's quick energy and it's good for you, those that have drank hot blood straight from the animal, I break that curse over these people. And Father, those that it may or may not be what's caused sugar diabetes, but I know that in some cases it is. And I break that curse of sugar diabetes, and I release them from it in the name of Jesus, and I speak restoration in Jesus' name. I bind that power and break that power of sugar diabetes in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I speak life and restoration. I break the ancestral curses in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you. I praise you. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What, Brother Martin? I break the curse of, yes, Father, the foul curse of masturbation. I break that curse, that sexual sin. I break that power in the name of Jesus. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, foul, unclean devil. I bind you and break your assignment over these people. I break the curse from the ancestral heritage in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for angel of the Lord to binding up all of these spirits, Father. And I thank you that for the angel of the Lord to take them and keep them bound till Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you for it. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your Spirit to flow, the Holy Spirit to flow through and fill all of us in every area, Father, that has been vacated so that there's no place left empty and cleansed, but is filled with your anointing and your presence, that there's no place for anything this evil spirit to return to, but is filled with the presence of the Lord, and that the joy of the Lord shall be our portion. I thank you and I praise you for it, Father. I give you praise for it, and I give you thanks for it, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. He is Lord. What, Brother Martin? Yes? Prostitution. Lord, anybody here that in any way has been involved with prostitution, we break that curse off of them. Off of the family line. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. We thank you, Lord, for your cleansing blood that forgives us. Father, we confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive us. I thank you. Now, Father, I thank you for your presence and anointing. Thank you for the service this evening and for the services that continue this week, Father, and that we will be a praise to your namesake. And I praise you for the privilege of it. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, bless us and bless the food and those that prepared it. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.